Chapter 1. Keeping the candles lit was difficult. The wind on the deserted beach was more than a breeze, snuffing out the four small flames, even though they were sheltered deep inside glass luminaries. Thankfully, the wind wasn't strong enough to whip up the sand, so our summer solstice ceremony could continue. Five women sat in a circle around the sometimes burning candles. It was nighttime, but it wasn't truly dark. The moon created a sparkling silver path on the ocean and a gentle glow on land. Much brighter light was generated by Atlantic City's casinos. Although they were more than a mile down the boardwalk, the beachfront towers were totally illuminated by many well-placed floodlights, and the lights never went out in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Usually, our small group met in the suburban home of one of our members. By June 20, 1996, the night of our solstice ceremony, I had been attending the gatherings for more than a year. My participation in the circle could be classified under the general heading of New Age experiences. I was a dilettante, a dabbler in the realm of positive thinking, universal energy, spiritual guidance. Did I have this stuff figured out? No. But every once in a while, it seemed to offer a reasonable explanation for the issues in my life. And it usually made me feel better. What was the problem? I was alone. I was a poster girl for the dilemma of the successful working women of the 90s. I was professional, talented, organized, hardworking, and thorough. I had a closet full of suits, a Rolodex full of contacts, and even pitched for my own softball team. Still, I did not consider myself complete. The question of the decade was, sure, you can run a business, but can you get a date? I came to Atlantic City in June 1978, shortly after graduating summa cum laude from Syracuse University. My degree was in magazine journalism, and I landed a job as the first editor of Atlantic City Magazine. The job wasn't as big as it sounded. Atlantic City's first casino had opened a month earlier. Atlantic City Magazine had published only two issues, neither of them pillars of journalism. Along with being the first editor, I was also the first employee. There wasn't even an office until I was hired. Still, excitement charged the salt air as people stood in line to play the slot machines. No one had expected gambling to be such a hit in Atlantic City, and the resort, population a mere 40,000, was constantly in the news. For a young, idealistic journalist, it was a great opportunity. I attended press conferences and opening nights. I wrote articles about everything from casino construction to the best junk food on the boardwalk. The publication grew, the staff grew, and I worked. Worked and worked. By June 1982, the magazine was making its mark, and I was thoroughly burned out. The magazine and I parted company. After a few months of collecting unemployment, I began receiving calls for freelance writing. One project led to another, and by 1983, at the age of 26, I was in business for myself. Although I never hired employees and never rented an office, I produced newsletters for casinos and wrote brochures for AT&T. By 1996, I was well established and well paid. I was also resentful. Why? I worked alone, and I hated how my business ran my life. I tried to stick to a Monday through Friday, 9-to-5 schedule. Not because I needed the discipline to get the work done. No, the work was always there, beckoning for my attention. I needed the schedule so I knew when to stop. I blamed my never-ending work for the sorry state of my social life. I was so busy being responsible for Atlantic City Magazine that I missed my early 20s. I was so scared about my new business that I missed my late 20s. Each year of my 30s, I asked the same questions. Will someone send me flowers on Valentine's Day? Will someone take me out for my birthday? Will I have a date for New Year's Eve? At the end of each year, the answer was usually no. What was wrong? I couldn't figure it out. I was reasonably attractive, not model material, but pretty in a girl-next-door fashion. I was cheerful, considerate, and not prone to temper tantrums. I could watch sports on TV without asking stupid questions. I was smart. Perhaps that's what scared the guys away. So, trying to figure out where I was going wrong, I read all the dating advice books. Still, my relationships, with a couple of rare exceptions, never lasted more than 2 months. Along the way, a friend introduced me to metaphysical philosophies. The first time I had my palm read, and not by a boardwalk fortune teller, I was blown away by the psychic's accuracy and insights. So I looked for answers, browsing the New Age section of bookstores, listening to positive thinking tapes, visiting channelers. This winding path of exploration led me to a truly amazing energy healer, and through her, I connected with the women on the beach. As was our custom, we began our gathering by chanting the traditional Om. One of the women brought along her new Native American drum, which she beat to release the spirit of her aging cat. The rest of us banged sticks together and shook rattles as we stomped around our little circle in the sand. The objective was to get the energy flowing, and somehow it always worked. At that point, the plan was for each of us to go off separately and do whatever we were inspired to do. Exercises like this were always difficult for me, because I was never sure if I were truly receiving spiritual guidance or simply talking to myself. But I wandered towards the waves breaking on the beach. I was up to my ankles, then my knees. The voice in my head said, "Jump in, just jump in." Well, even if the spirits were urging me to jump in, I didn't want to. It was nighttime and the ocean was cold. But I scooped the water up with my hands and poured it over my head. Another handful. And another. I splashed my arms and my face. Before long, I was soaked. The exercise turned out to be quite the premonition. The rest of us banged sticks together and shook. The rest of us banged sticks together and shook rattles as we stomped around our little circle in the sand. The objective was to get the energy flowing, and somehow it always worked. At that point, The plan was for each of us to go off separately and do whatever we were inspired to do. Exercises like this were always difficult for me. I came to Atlantic City in June 1978, shortly after graduating summa cum laude from Syracuse University. My degree was in magazine journalism, and I landed a job as the first editor of Atlantic City Magazine. The job wasn't as big as it sounded. Atlantic City's first casino had opened a month earlier. Atlantic City Magazine had published only two issues, neither of them pillars of journalism. Along with being the first editor, I was also the first employee. There wasn't even an office until I was hired. Still, excitement charged the salt air as people stood in line to play the slot machines. No one had expected gambling to be such a hit in